We're continuing the shiur in Shvachei Aran, the story of Rabbi Nachman's trip to Eretz Yisrael. We're up to paragraph Tes. We had mentioned that he took someone with him on the trip. We don't know who that person is. And Rabbi Nizal instructed him to buy a lot of paper and ink, that he was going to be doing a lot of writing on the trip. And as soon as they got onto the ship, Rabbi Nizal started to write Chidushei Torah, revelations in Torah. And he warned the person that was with him not to look at what he was writing at all whatsoever. And the person had to promise that he would not look at any of the things that Rabbi Nizal was writing. And only then Rabbi Nizal was willing to trust him and gave him the key to the closet that he was going to be using. When they left from Odessa, Odessa is a port city, and that's where they got on the boat to take them to Istanbul. That was the way people traveled from Ukraine to Israel at that time. When they left Odessa, there was a large group of people that came out to accompany them, many wagons with song, with celebration, major celebration, that this great tzaddik is embarking on a journey to Eretz Yisrael. In those days, it wasn't that common. And the ship took off on the Black Sea. During the first 24 hours of the trip, a major storm broke out at sea to the point where the waves of the sea were going onto the boat, and they were forced to remain in their cabin, locked up, said the water shouldn't come inside. And it was thunder, lightning, major winds, and people were terrified from the crashing thunder and the pouring rain and the waves. And as a result of the fear, it wasn't possible to sleep at night. After traveling for 4 days, they arrived in Istanbul, which is also known as Constantinople, and they remained over there at the Chof Hayam, at the seashore, because they didn't know what house they could go into. They couldn't recognize the difference between the Arabs and the Jews. The Jews of Turkey at that time dressed similar to the Arabs. So they stayed there, and also they couldn't converse, they couldn't communicate. So when people saw that they weren't moving, they weren't going anywhere, they went and brought a translator who spoke Yiddish or Russian, some kind of language that they could communicate with, and he served to translate. And they immediately rented a place in a section of Istanbul that was known as Galita. They went into that place, and after an hour or two, Rabbi Nizal said he doesn't want to stay there. He doesn't want to be in that place. So the translator asked, maybe you would prefer to be in the center of the city, which is where the Sultan lives, in that section. And there, no couples are allowed to be, no women. No women are allowed to be in that section of the city, only males. And Rabbi Nizal said, definitely, that's where I'd want to be. So they revealed to him that there are shadars, which means people, there are people who were sent from Eretz Yisrael to go to Chutz Loretz, to go to countries outside of Eretz Yisrael, to try to raise funds to support the Jews living in Israel at the time. And together with those shadars, with those people, there are two people that are from Ukraine that are on their way, that were in Eretz Yisrael and on their way back home. When Rabbi Nizal heard about these people, these two groups, number one, the fundraisers from Eretz Yisrael that were coming out to Chutz Loretz, and the two people from Ukraine who were on a return to Ukraine after having visited Eretz Yisrael, he warned the person that was with him, do not reveal to any of them who I am if they ask about me. Before we continue, I left out a small, very important note that during that stormy night out on Odessa, a person who had passed away a short while before that came to Rabbi Nizal, and Rabbi Nizal asked the person who was with him, did you see that young man from Volchowitz, who was a person who they both knew who had died already? And the person was in awe that Rabbi Nizal obviously saw the neshama of that person came to Rabbi Nizal on the boat during that stormy night. And Rabbi Nosson Zal writes, at that time it was a chiddush, at that time it was unusual for Rabbi Nizal to speak openly about that, about a neshama of somebody who had passed away who came to him. But Rav Nosson Zal said now it's no longer any big deal to us, to his students, because in his later years, we know that he was involved very, very much in this, in rectifying thousands of souls, thousands and tens of thousands of neshamos. And that was his main mission, as we heard clearly from him. And the fact that he passed away was also because of his involvement in this, his involvement in rectifying the thousands of neshamos in the city of Uman who had died al Kiddush Hashem, and Rabbeinu Zal was involved in effecting some kind of a special tikkun for their souls. Okay, so now Rabbeinu Zal and the student who accompanied with him are settled in the center of Istanbul, where the Sultan lives, and they went outside. And one of the two people who was on a return from Eretz Israel to Ukraine immediately recognized the student of Rabbeinu Zal who was with him, and he asked him, "What are you doing here?" So the student told him, "I'm traveling together with this young man." Rabbeinu Zal at the time was in his early 20s. "I'm traveling with this young man, Eretz Yisrael." So he asked him, "Who is this young man?" So he told him he's a person who has a visa from the Austrian government, and he wouldn't reveal who he is, who his name or anything about him specifically, as Rabbeinu Zal had warned him. These two people, these two Ukrainian Jews are on their way back to Ukraine. When they heard this, that he got a visa from the Austrian government, they immediately somehow made an assumption that Rabbeinu Zal was traveling to Eretz Yisrael to lead a battle against one of the great tzaddikim in Eretz Yisrael at the time. His name was Rabbi Avraham Kalisker, Rabbi Avraham from the city of Kalisk, who Kalisk is a city in Eastern Europe. This was one of the great tzaddikim who made Aliyah, who moved to Eretz Yisrael, who is buried in Tveria today, in the old cemetery where the students of the Baal Shem Tov and their followers who moved to Eretz Yisrael are buried in that old cemetery. And there was a major machlokes between Rabbi Avraham Kalisker and the Baal HaTanya, I believe it was. And these two people immediately, somehow, it went into their head that Rabbeinu Zal is going to Eretz Yisrael to fight with Rav Avraham Kalisker, to go against this tzaddik and those who are close to him. And they came up with proofs. They came up with that they know that that's what he's going for. And they believe that he was sent by a large group of people to lead, to wage a major battle against Rav Avraham Kalisker. So they started asking, investigating by the person who was with Rabbeinu Zal, "Does he have a letter with him, any kind of letter with him?" He said, "No." So they asked him, then what's his reason for going to Eretz Yisrael?" He said, "I really don't know. I don't know." And they started distrusting this person who they knew, the one who was accompanying Rabbeinu Zal, they knew. They decided they don't believe him either anymore. They can't rely on him. He's also trying to fool them or trick them. And they said, "Even though we know you from long ago to be a really religious person, but now we don't know if you're honest or sincere anymore whatsoever." So they asked him, "Did you ask your rabbi, Reb Nachman from Medvedevka, did you ask him if you should travel with this person?" They didn't know that the person he's traveling with is Rabbi Nachman. He said, yeah. But again, they refused to believe him anymore. They wouldn't trust him, because they were positive that this person that Rabbeinu Zal is traveling to Eretz Yisrael to fight against the tzaddikim who are living in Eretz Yisrael at the time. So now they approached Rabbeinu Zal himself to ask him who he is, where he comes from, what's his family, and Rabbeinu Zal refused to reveal himself to them. And they used all kinds of shrewd tactics in conversation to try to get him to slip, Nothing, zero. They couldn't get an inch with Rabbeinu Zal. He answered all their questions, but each time weaving in and out and around them that what they really wanted to get to hear from him, they couldn't. And he tricked them and he confused them to the point where they couldn't figure out at all who in the world is this person, where is he from, and what's he at all. At one point they would ask him, "Are you a Kohen?" He would say, "Yes." He would answer nonchalantly, as it was the most obvious thing. And then a couple of days, a different day, they would ask him, they would say, "You're a Yisrael, right?" He would say, "Yes." Then they'd say to him, but a couple of days ago, didn't you say you were a Kohen? He said, yes, of course. He said, Kohen represents Chesed, Yisroel is Tiferes. I have both. I'm connected to all the Midot. And then they said, it seems obvious and clear to us that you're from the people who are against, who oppose the great Tzaddik Rabbi Avram Kalisk, and you, that's why you don't want to reveal who you are. And they started to hate him, the wildest degree of hate. And they insulted him using every type of insult they could come up with. And they cursed him using every type of curse that they could come up with. And this went on for days. And the majority of the curses was from one of the two people, one of these two. And Rabbi Nassal started asking them, and he started to plead with them, and he said, This you can be sure of. I'm not going to reveal to you the reason why I'm going to Eretz Yisrael. And he quoted a term, Milibi Lepumi Loigolisi. Hashem says the secret of the coming of Moshiach and certain other secrets like that, from my heart to my mouth, I haven't revealed it. Meaning, there's no way I'm going to talk about it. It's in my heart. It's locked up there, sealed. There's no way I'm going to say it to anybody. And Rabbi Nazal said, however, despite that, wouldn't it be nice if we could live together in peace, if we could get along? There's no reason to fight. We don't have anything to fight about. Even if you don't know my real intention, my intentions, why I'm going. So they said to him, if you reveal to us why we're going to Eretz Yisrael, you will definitely benefit in a very big way, in a major way. He said to him, I'm not looking for any benefit at all from you. I don't need anything whatsoever from you. And I'm not going to reveal to you under any circumstances in the world why I'm going. Just the opposite. You could benefit tremendously from me if you want. So they said to him, you're talking as if you're one of the great tzaddikim, as if you were Rabbi Baruch, the nephew of the Baal Shem Tov, or Reb Sholem Ipaparush, or Reb Nachman Horodenko, your grandfather, his grandfather. They speak like this, but you obviously you're not in that crowd whatsoever, because it's pretty clear to us that you're one of the people who's opposed to the great, great tzaddik. And they said to him, you should know that before you get to Eretz Yisrael, there'll be a letter waiting there. We'll make sure to communicate to the people there that you are one of the chilkim, one of those who oppose the great tzaddik there, the great tzaddikim, and you're a spy, so that you're not going to be able to fool anybody over there. And they went to the agent who was involved in hiring out ships to travel, who was from Poland originally and had married a Sephardic woman, and his mother-in-law was one of the close people to the Sultan. She had the ability to go see the Sultan at will, the house of the Sultan at least. And this person was very important there, this agent. These people went to him and they told him, for Hashem's honor, make sure you don't let this person travel to Israel. Do whatever you can to block him, that he shouldn't be able to get on any boat going to Eretz Yisrael, because he's from the opposition, those who oppose the religious people in Israel. He wants to cause tremendous trouble. And whatever you can do to harm him, to block him, you'll be rewarded double portion from Hashem. And Rabbi Nazal and the one who was accompanying him didn't know anything about this. They didn't know that these two people had approached this agent and fed him this poison. We'll hold it over here for now.